Turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 25. I want to talk to you this morning about our personal weaknesses and our major failures. Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 25 speaks to ourselves. And as you read it, it'll seem quite confusing at first until you understand it's addressed to you and I personally. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. For what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. May we bow our heads, asking God to bless the reading of His Word and His Word to follow. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for who you are, what you've done for us, the blessings you bestowed upon us, even though we did not deserve them. We're grateful, Lord, from the depths of our heart, that we can look at one that loves us regardless of what has happened in our life. He's always ready and willing to welcome us back. Speak to our heart through the Word this morning, and I'll be sure and give you the praise for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Did you know that the lives are perhaps the greatest characters found in this Word of God? Every one of them were marred by personal weaknesses and major mishaps. And our Lord, with all honesty, gives us a glimpse of these men's lives that we might see ourselves in the same way and realize our shortcomings. For example, Noah, a great man of God, knew the Lord, yet he drank himself into a stupor. Abraham, another great man of God, knew the Lord, and yet he lied about his wife, saying she was his sister. Jacob knew the Lord, and yet he deceived his own father. Moses knew the Lord, and yet he murdered a man. Samson knew the Lord, yet he became involved with an ungodly woman. David knew the Lord, yet he committed adultery and murder. John the Baptist knew the Lord, and yet he doubted. Thomas knew the Lord, yet he did not believe. Peter knew the Lord, yet he used profanity. Paul knew the Lord, yet he had trouble getting along with people. All of this, as we read about these great men of God, is almost unbelievable, but it's true. And yes, many of us sitting right here this morning, including this pastor, many of us who know the Lord, Yet there are times in our lives we do similar things. Why? Every thinking Christian, at one time or another, grapples with this personal question. The lack of adequate answers often results in guilt, anxiety, doubt, insecurity, disillusionment, and in some cases, it leads to a nervous breakdown, and yes, even suicide. And this is exactly the way Satan wants it. He does not want any Christian to know there's a satisfying answer to their every question. And it is a delight for him to rob the believer of the joy the Lord wants to provide for him. And although every Christian faces such conflicts in their individual lives, no Christian should remain defeated. The Bible tells us not only why we have such battles, but also how we can overcome them. And until these truths are known in our own life, the Christian, whatever his walk of life, is going to suffer. Therefore, to combat such times, every Christian needs to know the answers. And the answer lies in the fact that the Christian's two natures, the old man and the new man, possess him, live within him. And our Lord explains these two nations when he told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. John chapter 3, verse 6. Now the word flesh is a comprehensive term and includes all that a person is through his or her natural birth. That is, his intellect, his emotions, as well as his body. And these component parts, which make up a human being, are corrupt, for the stream of humanity becomes polluted at its very source when Adam and Eve first sinned against God. And no one, I mean no one, escapes this pollution. For all mankind traces its heritage back to Adam and Eve, and this accounts for the evil that takes place in every generation that passes. But God has supplied a solution. The solution is salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. It's the only solution. And this is the only escape from the inheritance of this old Adamic nature that's right part of us. Thus, Christ himself was able to say, not only that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but also that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So when a person believes in, by faith, and received Jesus Christ as his or her Lord and Savior, the Lord instantly identifies that person with the death of Jesus Christ. And simultaneously, a spiritual birth takes place in the life of that individual. But although the old nature has been put to death, it is not blotted out, it is not annihilated. Yes, the flesh nature is dead to God, but very much alive to the world. On the other hand, the spirit nature is dead to the world, but very much alive to God. Now, all of this immediately sets into action two competitive forces within the newborn Christian. One born of the flesh, and the other born of the Spirit. Thus, the Christian becomes literally a battlefield. Each nature wars against the other, seeking to dominate the mind, the emotions, and the body itself. And I might add, very, very few Christians understand the intensity of this warfare. Now, the conflict of these two natures residing in the Christian makes the Christian life extremely unpleasant at times. And because the old nature constantly harasses the new nature by seeking a self-centered approach to life, the old nature has an affinity with the world, and since the believer lives in the world, the old nature finds plenty of carnality or sin for him to feed upon. And this gives the old nature the advantage, because the new nature has no natural food from this world, but must draw aside for Bible study and prayer, combined with fellowship with another Christian. Thus, Satan so dominates our minds, our emotions, and our bodies, we find it hard at times to feed the new man. Now, let's take a closer look at this carnal mind that the Bible speaks about. We need to know all we can about the carnal mind so we can fight it in the right way. Now, the influence of the old nature on the unregenerate mind is devastating, to say the least. The unsaved person is diametrically and diabolically set against God. Now, remember, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 says of God, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." And in Psalm chapter 94, verse 11 says, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, and they are vanity." Now, the world we live in recognizes the potential value of man's mind and attempts to develop it to the highest level it possibly can. And yet, with all the efforts that man has made to cultivate the mind itself, he fails to solve even the simplest of psychological problems simply because man cannot handle himself. And in spite of all man's scientific efforts, society today is failing to produce its greatest desire. For example, man, generally speaking, wants peace. But what does he do? He wages war. Man wants to live longer. But if life is prolonged, all it does is cause more problems. Man wants to preserve his natural resources, but his lust for money keeps him from doing so. Man wants a safe society to live in, but crime continues almost unabated. Man desires moral standards, but the lust of the flesh destroys him. Man attempts to educate against the use of drugs, and yet continues to produce them to his own destruction. So, from this we know man is his own worst enemy. Now, understand what I'm saying. Man, without God, has failed to solve any one of these problems. Why? The answer is very simple. It's found in Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can it be. So please understand, the carnal mind is an enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's also your enemy as a believer. It constantly suggests thoughts which are in opposition to the revelation of God's word and contrary to the will of the new nature that resides within us. Now, let me tell you a true story. I believe you'll verify what I've said. A woman was very much involved in an excellent, sound, fundamental Bible-believing church, sought some special counseling for herself. She said, "I teach Sunday school. I never miss a service. I love my Lord, but I'm always finding fault with my husband and my children. And I say things I don't want to say. And then I have an urge to apologize afterwards, but my pride keeps me from doing so." And then she asked the question, "What has happened to me?" Hear this now. Why? Because it could be any one of us, including this pastor. Then the counselor described to her the two natures that reside within her, one pulling one way and the other pulling the other way. And then he said, "Ma'am, there is only one answer to your problem, and one answer only, and that is Bible study. Read the Word of God and know what it says about your problem. Come to grips with your own situation and recognize the power of the old nature by starving it with a program of Bible study to understand the working of the old man and how we can combat it successfully." Now keep in mind, no one, I mean no one, fights an enemy successfully until he first understands the enemy. Now, I served in World War II. Before we ever come out of our hole in the ground to make a drive toward the next village down the road, maybe 5 miles, we were completely oriented as what was going to happen to us, the danger that was before us, what we were to do, and when we were to do it. We were fully instructed for almost 2 and 3, sometimes 3 days ahead of time before we made any such kind of a drive, because our very life was at stake. And many of those soldiers didn't listen, and they didn't come back again. Now keep in mind, no one fights an enemy successfully until first he understands the enemy and the tactics that he uses. And that takes study. No one, for example, takes on the job of an electrician until he first knows somewhat about electric. He knows what will happen to him if he doesn't. Therefore, we must learn as God's children. Let me say that again. We must learn as God's children to expect opposition and to know enough about this Word of God that when the old nature attacks, we're ready for him with the Word of God and the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, believe me, Christian, whether you realize this or not, we are in a battle today, and we will not find any perfection here on this earth, because this earth and all that's in it has already been cursed. But Christian, you can look to the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, and submit your will to his, and you can find and have victory over the old nature in your life. Thus, the Christian must either adjust to the reality of his old nature or recognize it for what it is, or his old nature will literally in time destroy him or keep him as a defeated Christian. Now, Christian, ask yourself, is your life hidden with Christ in God? Believe me, he is the most secure of all secure places. And if you want victory, you've got to feed on the Word of God. You've got to fellowship with God's people. You've got to confess to God your weaknesses. You've got to be honest with God and honest with yourself. But too often, our old nature explodes, just like a volcano. The potential for erupting has already been there in a volcano for centuries. But then one day that volcano, without warning, it happens. And when it does, God help the surrounding population. For that volcano's eruption, long pent up over the years, suddenly explodes with all of its fury. Now, let me correlate that information with a true story. And it could be any one of us this morning. A Christian family on vacation had traveled about 600 miles in one day. Naturally, the children were restless, and they lost another hour due to an unknown detour. And so they arrived late at their motel, only to find that the room they had reserved had been given to someone else. By this time, the children were unruly, cranky, and hard to control. And then suddenly, without warning, the husband and father's temper literally exploded. A temper he had controlled for 15 years ever since his salvation. Later, he said, "I use words I'd never used since I was saved." He said, "I couldn't believe it." And by this time, his family was in complete disarray. His children turned against him in fear, and his wife refused to even talk to him. And 2 weeks later, after they came home from their vacation, things grew worse. "How can this happen to me?" he said. "I'm a deacon in a church. I teach a Sunday school class. I'm a faithful member of this church. I never miss a Sunday." And then a question arose in his mind. Had he lived these 15 years as an unsaved man, only thinking he was saved? No, not at all. You see, for 15 years, his new nature had shaped his life, and his old nature lay dormant within him, just like that volcano, just waiting for the right opportunity to explode and make sure that it did explode. And friends, it can happen to any one of us sitting here this morning. Now, I've talked about the carnal mind and what we can expect from it and what it'll do to you if you lose control. Now, let's talk about this right here, the heart. And let's be honest with ourselves if we're going to get anything at all out of this message this morning. Now, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, has this to say about the heart. "A man's heart deviseth his ways." In Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, we read, "Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemes. These are the things which defile the man." Now, the old nature affects the emotions of man and always seeks to control the body at all times and will cause that person to hate, to be bitter, to have a bad temper, fill him with jealousy and anger and a bad attitude toward a brother or sister in Christ. Let me tell you a true story now, along with this. It fits right in. A Christian couple, recently married, found themselves in a deep power struggle with each other before their marriage was even 1 month old. You see, each one of them wanted their own way, and they sought to dominate each other. They had not been instructed by the Word of God concerning their relationship of a husband and a wife. And the devil took advantage of both of them. And that's exactly what the devil does. That's his job. You make one slip, and he's ready to pounce on that and cause you to make further steps. You see, each one of these wanted their own way. And each one was seeking to dominate the other. They had not been instructed in God's word concerning the relationship of a husband and wife, and the devil took advantage of both of them. And it wasn't until the Bible plan for husband and wife was revealed to them did they recognize the presence of their old fleshly natures and took proper steps to curb them, and only then did they heal the growing breach in their marriage. Now listen, Christian. Listen carefully to what I'm going to say. This old nature that resides within you will resist constantly, continually, the new nature's decision to do the will of God or study His Word. The old nature is persistent as well as clever. And it is Satan's method of deceit. And it is the reason why, again and again, believers have been led by the old nature into various kinds of immoral conduct, doing sinful acts they never thought they would ever do in all their life. And unless the believer is aware of this important fact and can turn this area of his life over to the new nature, he will suffer costly defeat and be constantly depressed as a Christian. Now, the Apostle Paul knew about the power of the old nature. He was well acquainted with it. And he was the first one to admit it. And in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, Paul himself cried out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I'm convinced more every day that the pattern for every Christian should be, "Lord, thy will be done. Deliver me from this wretched man, the old nature, and let me feast upon manna from heaven." Now let me bring this message to a close by taking a look at the new nature as it affects each Christian. Our Lord, knowing what Adam did to the human race, offers an escape from eternal damnation. Now, this plan was unfolded to Jesus Christ, and by Jesus Christ, when he was crucified on the cross of Calvary. Because it was there that Christ took upon himself man's sin, yours and mine. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now listen very carefully. This is very important. The moment we believe from the heart, instantly a new creation takes place in the believer. The old nature is not made clean, nor does it change its personality, But in God's sight, it dies with his son's sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, because God then sees us as a perfect person in his sight. And he sees us through his own precious son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now keep in mind, the new nature has absolutely no flaws. It totally escapes the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, it's not the new nature that doubts or responds to temptations. It's not the new nature that encounters fear and depression. It's not the new nature that clashes with people in a power struggle. It's the old nature, always, always the old nature. And it's not the new nature, but the old nature which lies and steals and covets and shows indifference and loses its temper. The new nature has only Christ-like attitudes and attributes and is without sin totally, completely. Now remember, the inward man and the new nature does not deteriorate, does not go away, but he does get tired, for as a citizen of heaven, he's living in a foreign country in a world of evil. Let me illustrate that with a story I heard. A Christian told a story during a thunderstorm. He had a flat tire on the freeway. He said, when I got out of that car and I looked at that tire, words I never expected to even think welled up in my mind, and I couldn't believe it. But there were reasons for that. For 12 years, he said, I worked in a shop where filthy language is used 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. I detested every filthy word that came from their lips, but now came to his mind. Now, did he speak them? No. In a moment, he had those thoughts of his under control. Why? Because he was a man who was willing to recognize the influence of the old nature and cried out to God for victory in the new nature. Now listen carefully. If he had not known what to do, as so many Christians don't today, doubtlessly, he would have allowed his tongue to express evil language and blame God for everything that happened to him. Isn't that true? But this word of God says we are to hide his word right here in our hearts, that we might not sin against him. Christian, your old nature is not going to go away. It won't go away, nor will it ever, ever give up. And to understand the will of God is to trust God and know he does want the very best for you. Now, are you willing to do and be a part of God's will for your life? I'm going to give you the key that unlocks God's will for your life. Write it down, memorize it, quote it, say it to yourself. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Listen, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and what will happen? He will direct your path. That's the answer. Clear and plain. God lets you know his will for your life in that way. And I challenge this morning each of you to prove those verses of scripture in your own personal life. For every Christian, believe me, God has a definite plan for your life. I don't care who you are. God has a definite plan for your life if you are a Christian. Only when this truth grips your heart will any of you get down to serious business to know and accept God's plan for your life. Now, the challenge this morning is this. By faith, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to take your life and make it pleasing unto God. Because this Bible is God's Word, and it's your divine guidance, and the Holy Spirit will not, under any circumstances, let you down. So, this morning, why not turn your life, your whole self, over to the Lord, and walk as you've never walked before in the ways of Christ, and He will bless you as you've never been blessed before. He'll open doors to you as you've never had open before, and He'll use you in a mighty way if you'll accept the challenge and let Jesus Christ open you up the door of your life and guide and direct you in every sense of the way. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, including this pastor, first of all. Oh God, help me to examine my life closely to make sure I'm not a hindrance, I'm not doing something I shouldn't be doing, but living for Christ, hoping and praying that God might use me in some small way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.